I'm Neo. Welcome into the Skeptic Arena. Today is January 3rd, 2015. The website is theskepticarena.com. Today, an essay by Fred Reed from the website Fred on Everything. It's entitled Black Power, a Done Deal. He begins, "As I write, America waits again to see whether blacks will riot, this time in Ferguson. Will they loot, burn, kill, and destroy? The usual? The police in Ferguson prepare to protect stores from looters, as rioters seem to regard their insurrections as shopping opportunities. Will it come, we wonder tensely? Will the destruction get out of hand and spread to other cities? It is curious that blacks, the least educated 13% of the population, the least productive, most criminal, and most dependent on governmental charity, should dominate national politics. Fred, what evidence do you offer to support your assertion that blacks dominate national politics? What percentage of congressmen are black? What percentage of the Supreme Court is black? What percentage of all federal judgeships go to blacks? And what about state legislatures, Fred? You also erred when you claimed that blacks were the most dependent on governmental charity. 60% of all government handouts, paid for by taxpayers, go to the rich. That makes them the most dependent recipients of governmental charity, not blacks. And that 60% of government charity goes to only a tiny fraction within the richest 1%. So, Fred, if you are looking for the hole in the bucket, look there." He continues, "Yet they do. Virtually everything revolves around what blacks want, demand, do, or can't do. Their power seems without limit." Great point, Fred. That must be why blacks are so much wealthier than everyone else in America. Just look at how much money those point guards in the NBA make. And as you pointed out earlier, they have so much power, they don't even need education. Fred continues, "Courses of instruction in the schools, academic rigor, codes of dress, rules regarding unceasing obscenity, all must be set to suit them, as must be examinations for promotion in fire departments, the military, and police forces." Fred, that doesn't sound so much like the privileges demanded by blacks as much as it does the privileges demanded by Christians in America. Reread that run-on sentence, only this time, every time you get to a privilege, apply it to Christian demands, and you'll see that I'm right. And those demands that you listed only scratch the surface of what Christians demand. Fred wrote, "Blacks must be admitted to universities for which they are not remotely qualified." Fred, you seem a little behind the times. California is just one state that has struck down affirmative action quotas. He wrote, "Where departments of black studies must be established to please them. Corporate workforces, federal departments, and elite high schools must be judged not on whether they perform their functions, but on whether they have the right number of blacks. Do laws requiring identification to vote threaten to end multiple or illegal voting? Then the laws must go." Fred, those laws are not being removed. Get caught voting illegally, and no matter what color you are, you're going to jail. Fred wrote, "Do blacks not like Confederate flags?" Well, adieu, flags. Fred, the Confederate flag is the symbol of traitors who attempted to destroy America and keep humans enslaved. The flag that gives you goosebumps is the same one that causes any rational person to vomit uncontrollably. You don't have to be black. to puke at the sight of a Confederate flag. Fred continues, "Does Huckleberry Finn go down the Mississippi with the nigger Jim, or did Conrad write the nigger of the Narcissus? These must be banned or expurgated to please blacks who haven't read them or usually heard of them. Do we want to prevent people coming from regions infested with Ebola from entering the United States? We can't. It would offend blacks." Fred, after months of conservative fear-mongering, the Ebola death toll in the United States stands at 1. The flu will likely kill between 20 and 30,000 Americans this year. Which raises the question, why aren't you complaining about Americans who aren't wearing surgical masks in public? And Fred, did you get your flu shot yet? He wrote, "We must never ever say or do anything that might upset them, as virtually everything does." Fred, it sounds like you are projecting, and I provided him a link to psychological projection. Fred, my evidence for that assertion? Over 600 articles on your website, fredoneverything.net. Your statement describes you far better than it does blacks. Fred wrote, "It is positively astonishing. One expects the rich and smart to have disproportionate power, but America is dominated from the slums." Fred, to quote conservative icon William F. Buckley, quote, "I won't insult your intelligence by suggesting that you really believe what you just said," end quote. He continues, "One might think that a single set of laws should and would apply to all citizens, and that things should be done without regard to race, creed, color, sex, or national origin, and that all should have the same rights and responsibilities. It is, sadly, not so." Fred, the South, including your home state of Alabama, until recently had two sets of laws, one for whites and another for blacks, two sets of bathrooms, two sets of bus seats, two sets of restaurants, but only one set of lynch ropes. Fred continues, "The dominance of the media by blacks is impressive. If a white shoots a black to defend himself, it becomes national news for weeks or months, and riots follow. But when blacks engage in their unending racial attacks on whites, the media demurely look the other way. The attackers are never black, they are teens. Reporters who say otherwise are likely to be fired. In effect, the 13% censor the national press." Fred, you've been part of that media for decades. Is this a confession? He wrote, "Much of their mastery has become so deeply ingrained as no longer to be noticed. There is the D.C. hesitation. In bars and restaurants of Washington, a man weary of an incompetent affirmative action hire in his office will, before commenting to a friend, lean forward, lower his voice, and look furtively over both shoulders to see whether anyone might overhear. The D.C. hesitation. People don't even know that they are doing this." Fred, if people weren't making racist statements, they wouldn't have a reason to lean forward, lower their voice, and check over their shoulder for eavesdroppers. The best policy is not to say anything in private that you would not say in public. Fred continues, "Defensive behavior by whites has become nearly universal. A sort of Masonic recognition ritual occurs among white people recently introduced in social gatherings. Is the other person, for want of better terms, a liberal or a realist? Dare one speak? One of them will say something mildly skeptical about, say, Jesse Jackson. The other rolls his eyes in shared disgust. The secret handshake. Or, if the listener is politically correct, the bait is not taken. In either case, blacks dominate political conversation. Fred, I've never read anyone who is as obsessed as you are with black people. You really need to get yourself into therapy, and fast. He wrote, "So extreme is the power to control speech and even thought that politicians have to avoid mentioning watermelons, or that neighborhoods of high crime must be delicately called sketchy instead of black, though all understand who lives there and what is meant. The avoidance of racial reference is not an even-handed, if despotic, attempt to oppose racism, since, as we all know, blacks freely apply any derogatory wording they choose to whites. In short, they rule, which is amazing. Fred, the poorest, least educated social class in America rules nothing. Only Confederates and self-loathing liberals are buying into that racist garbage." Fred wrote, "The dominance extends to children. When in junior high, one of my daughters brought home a science handout with common chemical terms badly misspelled in a way that suggested a particular speech pattern. I said to her without thinking, 'Is your teacher black?' She said, 'Daddy,' in an anguish, having made the connection, but knowing that she shouldn't have." Fred, you don't even understand your own daughter. She wasn't in anguish over making a connection that she shouldn't have. She was in anguish because of her embarrassing father. He wrote, "Blacks control what you can say to your own children in your own home." No, Fred, your daughter was just slapping you with a dose of maturity beyond her years. Sadly, it doesn't seem to have worked. He said, "And of course, if I had gone to the school and demanded that the teacher be fired, it would have been evidence of my depravity and probable KKK membership." Fred, support for the Confederate flag, one of the most vile symbols of human degradation in history, will typically tend to get you associated with groups like the KKK. Fred continues, "The word unbelievable has lost all force. Things that ought to be unbelievable and once were have become routine. Still, there it was. Don't expect a junior high teacher to have the level of literacy I had in the fourth grade. Instead, make it dangerous to notice their stupidity. This is not new, and it hasn't changed. In 1981, in a piece for Harper's, I wrote, quote, 'The bald, statistically verifiable truth is that the teachers' colleges, probably on ideological grounds, have produced an incredible proportion of incompetent black teachers. Evidence of this appears periodically, as for example in the results of a competency test given to applicants for teaching positions in Pinellas County, Florida, cited in Time magazine. To pass this grueling examination, an applicant had to be able to read at the 10th grade level and do arithmetic at the 8th grade level. Though they all held BAs, 25% of the whites and 79% of the blacks failed. Similar statistics exist for other places." Fred, since 79% of all black applicants failed, then you have just contradicted your own claim that teachers' colleges have produced an incredible proportion of incompetent black teachers. See the problem, Fred? How could a system produce an incredible number of incompetents when that same system failed them? Let me know when you work that one out, Fred. He wrote, "Nothing has changed. Blacks now control the presidency." Fred, now we finally get to what's really got you filling your diaper. There's a black man in the White House, and your life has been in ruins ever since. Is that why you're now living in Mexico? He wrote, "And thus, most importantly, the attorney generalship. In this, the staggering political power of blacks is most evident." Fred, when the president and the attorney general were white, did you see that staggering political power as a problem? Or is it only a problem when they are black? He wrote, "Obama was elected because he was black." Fred, if Americans were so desperate for a black president, why didn't they elect that pizza guy from your party? He wrote, "An equally unqualified and negligible white politician would have had no chance." Fred, which part of Obama's 11-year tenure in state and federal senates do you find unqualifying? Does running a pizza business make a candidate more qualified than serving for over a decade as a state and federal senator? He wrote, "Obama is now fiercely pushing the most profound transformation of America ever attempted by opening the floodgates to immigrants from the South." Fred, you must not read very carefully. Maybe you should ask that middle school teacher with the particular speech pattern and poor spelling to help you understand Obama's immigration reform. The reform had nothing to do with opening the floodgates to foreigners. It had to do with not forcibly separating families that are already in America. Fred, I think I'm beginning to get a better understanding of how awful our media really is now that I've read this essay. He wrote, "To effect this end, Obama apparently will simply ignore Congress and the Constitution." Fred, it isn't hard to ignore our Congress because they have accomplished less than a midnight janitor at Taco Bell. As for the Constitution, exactly which part are you claiming Obama ignored? Maybe you have him confused with the Supreme Court. The five conservative Catholic men on the court are the ones who have been rewriting the Constitution to make it conform to their religious beliefs. Fred said, "The people will not be consulted." Fred, the people were consulted on background checks for firearm purchases. The people were overwhelmingly in favor of them, to the tune of about 80%. What did conservatives in Congress do? They ignored the will of the people and hurried down to the local Citibank branch to cash their huge NRA checks. Fred wrote, "Laws will be ignored." Fred, if you want to see the law not just being ignored, but spit upon, just collect all the videos sent to the IRS by preachers on Pulpit Freedom Sunday when they intentionally broke the law and recorded it and then dared the IRS to do something about it. Fred, it's strange that in over 600 essays published on your website, there is no sign of outrage against those preachers, or those congressmen, or those conservative judges, or the rich. But for blacks, lock and load. Fred writes, "It is hard to imagine why he does it except from racism, from a desire to get even with whites by enrolling their country in the third world." Fred, how would enrolling America in the third world, whatever that means, help Obama get even with whites? And get even for what? They made him president of the United States. Why would Obama want to get even with them? Fred wrote, "A short-sighted policy, yes, since Hispanics do not like blacks and will soon be more powerful, but that will come a bit later. Note that self-inflicted problems of blacks consume inordinate amounts of public and governmental attention, even though only blacks can solve them. I might say should solve them, since they never have, and we all know they seem to have no desire to do so. Yet we hear about them endlessly. Are blacks in Chicago killing each other in large numbers? Well, the solution might be to stop doing it, might it not?" Fred, simple solutions from simple minds. If the problem were that easy, it would have been fixed a long time ago. Fred wrote, "While I do not wish these young dead, I can do nothing to stop them, and it is not a problem I can solve." Fred, at your age, the only problem you should be concentrating on is whom to leave your Confederate flag to when you head under the dirt to supply nourishment to the local worm community. Fred continues, "Are black children growing up illiterate? This gives me no pleasure, and I have various reasons, both selfish and moral, to wish it were not so. but perhaps the solution is for their parents or parent to see that they do their homework, or even to teach them. I cannot do this for them, and again, it isn't my problem to resolve. Why do I have to hear endlessly about the achievement gap? Whether of genetic or cultural origin, it seems as immutable as Avogadro's number, and I can do nothing about it. I raise my children. They need to raise theirs. Fred, you believe in intelligent design. Anti-science morons like you shouldn't be trying to teach anyone anything until you first get your own head screwed on straight. Between science teachers who can't spell and a dad who believes he is smarter than all of the world's biologists, it doesn't sound like your kids have much of a chance. Although from what you wrote earlier, there may be some hope for your daughter. And Fred concludes by writing, "They rule. It is astonishing." Fred, some advice. Anyone as old and bitter and full of bile as you would be better off somewhere else. The best I can offer is this. If you haven't already done so, start drinking heavily and smoke like a chimney. With a little luck, you'll be out of here in no time. And the best part is, you'll never have to see another black person for the rest of eternity. And the best part for all of us, who will be left behind after you pass, is that we won't have to suffer through any more of your whining and whimpering about black people. Rest in peace, old-timer. And now we move to the science segment. Today's story, cells feel their surroundings using finger-like structures. Cells have finger-like projections that they use to feel their surroundings. They can detect the chemical environment, and they can feel their physical surroundings using ultra-sensitive sensors. The finger-like structures, called filopodia, are actually tube-like protrusions from the cell membrane that can extend themselves, contract, and bend in dynamic movements. For example, the cells use the filopodia structures for correct development of the embryo, for growing nerve cells, and when cells, like macrophages, need to migrate towards pathogenic bacteria in order to remove them. But what is it that allows the filopodia to move? How do they control their movements? And what forces do they use? Researchers studied the physical properties of filopodia using an optical trap, which is a microscope where you can hold onto and influence individual living cells using a highly focused laser while you observe, measure, and follow their movements. In order to follow the movements better, they are placed in a small plastic ball on the tip of the filopodia structure. And by performing ultra-sensitive force measurements, they could measure the dynamic activity in the individual filopodia. In addition to the force measurements, the internal skeleton of the filopodia, called actin, which is responsible for the movement of the filopodia, was marked with fluorescent markers in order to monitor the movements in the microscope. In the experiment, scientists grasped the ball sitting on the end of the filopodia antenna and pulled it with the ultra-sensitive force microscope for up to 20 minutes. They could measure that the cells pulled back with a force of between 1 and 100 piconewtons, the equivalent of the gravity on a single red blood cell. Furthermore, the study revealed a new mechanism that the filopodia used to move. Researchers observed that the actin inside the filopodia exhibited a marked twisting motion, and when it drew back, spiral folds were formed, holding tight to one end and pulling the other. These spiral folds were filmed using fluorescent microscopy, all while measuring the contraction. The rotational mechanism that formed the spiral in the actin structure is important for making it possible for the filopodia to explore their environment by means of the rotary movement. These new results show a surprising new mechanism where rotation is converted into a mechanical feature that makes it possible for the cell to interact with neighboring cells. And now we move to the final segment of the show, Famous Quotes. Today, Bertrand Russell. I will give no biography as he has been previously quoted. Here is the quote from Bertrand Russell. The trouble with the world is that the stupid are cocksure and the intelligent are full of doubt.
Are you ready, Bruce? Start walking.